Chapter 81. Bow, and had received it with infinite condescension. But Punch, my dear Copperfield, apostrophe said Mr. Micawber, tasting it, like time and tide, waits for no man. Ah! It is at the present moment in high flavor. My love, will you give me your opinion? Apostrophe, Mrs. Micawber pronounced it excellent. Then I will drink, apostrophe said Mr. Micawber, if my friend Copperfield will permit me to take that social liberty, to the days when my friend Copperfield and myself were younger, and fought our way in the world side by side. I may say, of myself and Copperfield, in words we have sung together before now, that we twa hae run about the brazen poo at the gowans fine, in a figurative point of view on several occasions. I am not exactly aware, apostrophe said Mr. Micawber, with the old roll in his voice, and the old indescribable air of saying something genteel, what Gowans may be, but I have no doubt that Copperfield and myself would frequently have taken a pull at them, if it had been feasible. Apostrophe, Mr. Micawber, at the then present moment, took a pull at his punch. So we all did. Traddles evidently lost in wondering at what distant time Mr. Micawber and I could have been comrades in the battle of the world. Ahem. Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Micawber, clearing his throat, and warming with the punch, and with the fire. My dear, another glass? Apostrophe, Mrs. Micawber said it must be very little, but we couldn't allow that, so it was a glassful. As we are quite confidential here, Mr. Copperfield, apostrophe said Mrs. Micawber, sipping her punch, apostrophe Mr. Traddles being a part of our domesticity, I should much like to have your opinion on Mr. Micawber's prospects. For corn, apostrophe said Mrs. Micawber argumentatively, as I have repeatedly said to Mr. Micawber, may be gentlemanly, but it is not remunerative. Commission to the extent of 2 and 9 pence in a fortnight cannot, however limited our ideas, be considered remunerative. Apostrophe, we were all agreed upon that. Then, apostrophe said Mrs. Micawber, who prided herself on taking a clear view of things, and keeping Mr. Micawber straight by her woman's wisdom, when he might otherwise go a little crooked, then I ask myself this question. If corn is not to be relied upon, what is? Are coals to be relied upon? Not at all. We have turned our attention to that experiment, on the suggestion of my family, and we find it fallacious. Apostrophe, Mr. Micawber, leaning back in his chair with his hands in his pockets, eyed us aside, and nodded his head, as much as to say, that the case was very clearly put. The articles of corn and coals, apostrophe said Mrs. Micawber, still more argumentatively, being equally out of the question, Mr. Copperfield, I naturally look round the world, and say, what is there in which a person of Mr. Micawber's talent is likely to succeed? And I exclude the doing anything on commission, because commission is not a certainty. What is best suited to a person of Mr. Micawber's peculiar temperament is, I am convinced, a certainty. Apostrophe, Traddles and I both expressed, by a feeling murmur, that this great discovery was no doubt true of Mr. Micawber, and that it did him much credit. I will not conceal from you, my dear Mr. Copperfield, apostrophe said Mrs. Micawber, that I have long felt the brewing business to be particularly adapted to Mr. Micawber. Look at Barclay and Perkins. Look at Truman, Hanbury, and Buxton. It is on that extensive footing that Mr. Micawber, I know from my own knowledge of him, is calculated to shine, and the profits, I am told, are enormous. But if Mr. Micawber cannot get into those firms which decline to answer his letters, when he offers his services even in an inferior capacity, what is the use of dwelling upon that idea? None. I may have a conviction that Mr. Micawber's manners apostrophe him. Really, my dear, apostrophe interposed Mr. Micawber. My love, be silent, apostrophe said Mrs. Micawber, laying her brown glove on his hand. I may have a conviction, Mr. Copperfield, that Mr. Micawber's manners peculiarly qualify him for the banking business. I may argue within myself that if I had a deposit at a banking house, the manners of Mr. Micawber, as representing that banking house, would inspire confidence, and must extend the connection. But if the various banking houses refuse to avail themselves of Mr. Micawber's abilities, or receive the offer of them with contumely, what is the use of dwelling upon that idea? None. As to originating a banking business, I may know that there are members of my family who, if they chose to place their money in Mr. Micawber's hands, might found an establishment of that description. But if they do not choose to place their money in Mr. Micawber's hands, which they don't, what is the use of that? Again, I contend that we are no farther advanced than we were before. Apostrophe, I shook my head, and said, not a bit. Apostrophe, Traddles also shook his head, and said, not a bit. Apostrophe, what do I deduce from this? Apostrophe, Mrs. Micawber went on to say, still with the same air of putting a case lucidly. What is the conclusion, my dear Mr. Copperfield, to which I am irresistibly brought? Am I wrong in saying, it is clear, that we must live? Apostrophe, I answered not at all. Apostrophe, and Traddles answered not at all. Apostrophe, and I found myself afterwards sagely adding, alone, that a person must either live or die. Just so, apostrophe, returned Mrs. Micawber, it is precisely that. And the fact is, my dear Mr. Copperfield, that we cannot live without something widely different from existing circumstances shortly turning up. Now I am convinced, myself, and this I have pointed out to Mr. Micawber several times of late, that things cannot be expected to turn up of themselves. We must, in a measure, assist to turn them up. I may be wrong, but I have formed that opinion. Apostrophe, both Traddles and I applauded it highly. Very well, apostrophe, said Mrs. Micawber. Then what do I recommend? Here is Mr. Micawber with a variety of qualifications with great talent, apostrophe, really, my love, apostrophe, said Mr. Micawber. Pray, my dear, allow me to conclude. Here is Mr. Micawber, with a variety of qualifications, with great talent I should say, with genius, but that may be the partiality of a wife, apostrophe, Traddles and I both murmured no. Apostrophe, and here is Mr. Micawber without any suitable position or employment. Where does that responsibility rest? Clearly on society. Then I would make a fact so disgraceful known, and boldly challenge society to set it right. It appears to me, my dear Mr. Copperfield, apostrophe, said Mrs. Micawber, forcibly, that what Mr. Micawber has to do, is to throw down the gauntlet to society, and say, in effect, show me who will take that up. Let the party immediately step forward. Apostrophe, I ventured to ask Mrs. Micawber, how this was to be done. By advertising, apostrophe, said Mrs. Micawber in all the papers. It appears to me that what Mr. Micawber has to do, in justice to himself, in justice to his family, and I will even go so far as to say in justice to society, by which he has been hitherto overlooked, is to advertise in all the papers, to describe himself plainly as so and so, with such and such qualifications, and to put it thus. Now employ me, on remunerative terms, and address, postpaid, to WM, Post Office, Camden Town. Apostrophe, this idea of Mrs. Micawber's, my dear Copperfield, apostrophe, said Mr. Micawber, making his shirt collar meet in front of his chin, and glancing at me sideways, is, in fact, the leap to which I alluded, when I last, had the pleasure of seeing you. Apostrophe, advertising is rather expensive, apostrophe, I remarked, dubiously. Exactly so. Apostrophe, said Mrs. Micawber, preserving the same logical air. Quite true, my dear Mr. Copperfield. I have made the identical observation to Mr. Micawber. It is for that reason especially, that I think Mr. Micawber ought, as I have already said, in justice to himself, in justice to his family, and in justice to society, to raise a certain sum of money on a bill. apostrophe, Mr. Micawber, leaning back in his chair, trifled with his eyeglass and cast his eyes up at the ceiling, but I thought him observant of Traddles too, who was looking at the fire. If no member of my family, apostrophe said Mrs. Micawber, is possessed of sufficient natural feeling to negotiate that bill, I believe there is a better business term to express what I mean, apostrophe, Mr. Micawber, with his eyes still cast up at the ceiling, suggested discount. Apostrophe, to discount that bill, apostrophe said Mrs. Micawber, then my opinion is, that Mr. Micawber should go into the city, should take that bill into the money market, and should dispose of it for what he can get. If the individuals in the money market oblige Mr. Micawber to sustain a great sacrifice, that is between themselves and their consciences. I view it, steadily, as an investment. I recommend Mr. Micawber, my dear Mr. Copperfield, to do the same, to regard it as an investment which is sure of return, and to make up his mind to any sacrifice. Apostrophe, I felt, but I am sure I don't know why, that this was self-denying, undevoted in Mrs. Micawber, and I uttered a murmur to that effect. Traddles, who took his tone from me, did likewise, still looking at the fire. I will not, apostrophe said Mrs. Micawber, finishing her punch, and gathering her scarf about her shoulders, preparatory to her withdrawal to my bedroom. I will not protract these remarks on the subject of Mr. Micawber's pecuniary affairs. At your fireside, my dear Mr. Copperfield, and in the presence of Mr. Traddles, who, though not so old a friend, is quite one of ourselves, I could not refrain from making you acquainted with the course I advise Mr. Micawber to take. I feel that the time has arrived when Mr. Micawber should exert himself, and I will add assert himself, and it appears to me that these are the means. I am aware that I am merely a female, and that a masculine judgment is usually considered more competent to the discussion of such questions. Still, I must not forget that, when I lived at home with my papa and mama, my papa was in the habit of saying, Emma's form is fragile, but her grasp of a subject is inferior to none. That my papa was too partial, I well know, but that he was an observer of character in some degree, my duty and my reason equally forbid me to doubt. Apostrophe, with these words, and resisting our entreaties, that she would grace the remaining circulation of the punch with her presence, Mrs. Micawber retired to my bedroom. And really I felt that she was a noble woman, the sort of woman who might have been a Roman matron, and done all manner of heroic things, in times of public trouble. In the fervor of this impression, I congratulated Mr. Micawber on the treasure he possessed. So did Traddles. Mr. Micawber extended his hand to each of us in succession, and then covered his face with his pocket handkerchief, which I think had more snuff upon it than he was aware of. He then returned to the punch, in the highest state of exhilaration. He was full of eloquence. He gave us to understand that in our children we lived again, and that, under the pressure of pecuniary difficulties, any accession to their number was doubly welcome. He said that Mrs. Micawber had latterly had her doubts on this point, but that he had dispelled them, and reassured her. As to her family, they were totally unworthy of her, and their sentiments were utterly indifferent to him, and they might, I quote his own expression, go to the devil. Mr. Micawber then delivered a warm eulogy on Traddles. He said Traddles was a character, to the steady virtues of which he, Mr. Micawber, could lay no claim, but which, he thanked heaven, he could admire. He feelingly alluded to the young lady, unknown, whom Traddles had honored with his affection, and who had reciprocated that affection, by honoring and blessing Traddles with her affection. Mr. Micawber pledged her. So did one. Traddles thanked us both, by saying, with a simplicity and honesty I had sense enough to be quite charmed with, I am very much obliged to you indeed. And I do assure you, she's the dearest girl. Apostrophe, Mr. Micawber took an early opportunity, after that, of hinting, with the utmost delicacy and ceremony, at the state of my affections. Nothing but the serious assurance of his friend Copperfield to the contrary, he observed, could deprive him of the impression that his friend Copperfield loved and was beloved. After feeling very hot and uncomfortable for some time, and after a good deal of blushing, stammering, and denying, I said, having my glass in my hand, "Well, I would give them the apostrophe," which so excited and gratified Mr. Micawber that he ran with a glass of punch into my bedroom, in order that Mrs. Micawber might drink tea, who drank it with enthusiasm, crying from within, in a shrill voice, "Here, here, my dear Mr. Copperfield, I am delighted. Here," apostrophe and tapping at the wall, by way of applause. Our conversation, afterwards, took a more worldly turn, Mr. Micawber telling us that he found Camden Town inconvenient, and that the first thing he contemplated doing when the advertisement should have been the cause of something satisfactory turning up was to move. He mentioned a terrace at the western end of Oxford Street, fronting Hyde Park, on which he had always had his eye, but which he did not expect to attain immediately, as it would require a large establishment. There would probably be an interval, he explained, in which he should content himself with the upper part of a house, over some respectable place of business, say in Piccadilly, which would be a cheerful situation for Mrs. Micawber, and where, by throwing out a bow window, or carrying up the roof another story, or making some little alteration of that sort, they might live, comfortably and reputably, for a few years. Whatever was reserved for him, he expressly said, or wherever his abode might be, we might rely on this: there would always be a room for Traddles, and a knife and fork for me. We acknowledged his kindness, and he begged us to forgive his having launched into these practical and business-like details, and to excuse it as natural in one who was making entirely new arrangements in life. Mrs. Micawber, tapping at the wall again to know if tea were ready, broke up this particular phase of our friendly conversation. She made tea for us in a most agreeable manner, and, whenever I went near her, in handing about the teacups and bread and butter, asked me, in a whisper, whether D was fair, or dark, or whether she was short, or tall, or something of that kind, which I think I liked. After tea, we discussed a variety of topics before the fire, and Mrs. Micawber was good enough to sing us, in a small, thin, flat voice, which I remembered to have considered, when I first knew her, the very table beer of acoustics, the favorite ballads of the dashing White Sergeant, and Little Taflin. For both of these songs Mrs. Micawber had been famous when she lived at home with her papa and mama. Mr. Micawber told us that when he heard her sing the first one, on the first occasion of his seeing her beneath the parental roof, she had attracted his attention in an extraordinary degree, but that when it came to Little Taflin, he had resolved to win that woman or perish in the attempt. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.